Welcome back. We're here live in the Skyline Studio, and obviously that's music from the Star Wars, and a new Star Wars. I don't know if you heard about this or not, but a new Star Wars movie opened. Steve, did you hear about this?
I thought we were here to talk about cats. I'm sorry, I'm leaving.
Okay, cats. We are not going to be on Monday because I'm off for the holidays. But Steve Procopi and Eric Childress, who review movies with me every Sunday night, Monday morning, have seen The Rise of Skywalker, and we wanted to get their thoughts on it before the weekend. Eric, welcome. How are you?
Okay, thank you.
All right, good. Well, let's start. Eric, tell us about The Rise of Skywalker.
Okay. Well, this is episode 9 of the third and the final trilogy of the Skywalker saga. J.J. Abrams has taken the reins once again. And as the film begins, it's almost going to seem like a spoiler right up the front, but we find out right at in the opening scroll of the movie that apparently Emperor Palpatine from the original trilogy is still alive. And he's broadcasting a signal throughout the universe, and that has caused some dismay with Kylo Ren, who at the end of The Last Jedi had basically taken over as Supreme Commander of the First Order and is now looking to basically cement that position, and the thought of Emperor Palpatine still being out there threatens him. But upon discovering what he does, embarks on a plot that involves Emperor Palpatine delivering Rey to him to complete a master plan that he's been putting in forth for some time. Meanwhile, our heroes from the previous films, Rey and Poe and Finn, are going to end up going on an adventure themselves, looking for basically a Sith finder so they can find out where Emperor Palpatine is basically causing this broadcast and is putting forth a final order, if you will, and basically his last attempt to take over the universe, and they're out to stop it. I think that's pretty much brings us up to speed of where we are with the plot of this movie without giving too much more away with the sort of twists and turns that the film takes eventually. So we want to go from there?
Yeah, what did you think of it?
Well,
let me preface this by saying you're one of the biggest Star Wars fans that I know. And you like the prequels. I just want to get that out there.
Let's say me with that. That's great.
So that's how big a Star Wars fan you are. That's, I just wanted to make sure people know that. So tell us about what you thought of The Rise of Skywalker, and then we'll get with Steve's thoughts.
Well, coming into Episode 9 and having been such a big fan of both Force Awakens and particularly The Last Jedi, the series had really been back on a high. Even defending the prequels as I have, I'm not immune to their flaws. I just happen to be a big Star Wars fan and can be a little bit more forgiving than even the most lenient of critics. So coming into this one, I admit that there were nerves involved in exactly how this was going to play out, considering the backlash that The Last Jedi got from a very small but loud and vocal contingent out there. Was Abrams going to, pick up where Rian Johnson left off, or was he going to try to find his way around some of those plot threads that were created? So the worst thing that I was hoping, to come away from this movie was just kind of being satisfied, enjoying myself, walking out, satisfied up to a point, getting the emotional closure that I needed with certain plot threads and character arcs that I've been invested in for 42 years, if not, just a couple of years. And that's ultimately where I kind of sighed on the film, is that I walked out satisfied, and enjoyed myself for the most part. Now, the beginning of the movie, the first, say, half hour of the movie, is incredibly rushed. So rushed that I actually, while I wasn't writing anything down, I would have written down that I felt like I was watching a Michael Bay film at times. Yeah, it's so crazily edited, although there is a pretty nifty sequence involving Lightspeed that I enjoyed very much. But nevertheless, it getting through this realization that Emperor Palpatine is still there is the kind of thing that normally would be reserved for your second chapter, sort of the turn in that, or a late twist in the film. And this one, it's in the Skrulls, and it's Kylo Ren at the very beginning going to find him. So Abrams is trying to set up everything about this movie in the first half hour before it can really sort of find itself footing. And with the other chapter threes that we've had in the other trilogies, there's this sense of closure that the films are more interested in than sort of building up new avenues and new areas of themes and stuff that these movies have had from time to time. And I was happy that about halfway through the movie, it started to find a little bit of an identity by, ironically, using the storyline as a way to sort of comment on several characters within the series trying to run from their past, trying to run from their birthright, trying to run from bad decisions that they made in the past. And I thought when the movie started concentrating on that, it was starting to find its own identity. But there's an ironic twist to that, because Abrams is basically finding the loopholes in Rian Johnson's Last Jedi that he can fly the Millennium Falcon through and basically connect the dots back to The Force Awakens and the storyline that he basically set up. So all of those things that Rian Johnson tore down and put us on a new path in Last Jedi, we have king of Star Trek time travel, J.J. Abrams, basically erasing so much of that. I think the greatest sins of the movie is the way that it kind of relegates Kelly Marie Tran's Rose character to the background as if she was somehow Jar Jar Binks. I thought that was a kind of an unforgivable sin throughout the film. But again, the movie has emotional closure. There are some big surprises in this movie that I was not expecting and was very satisfied with. I was moved to tears a couple times, and I think the action is for the most part pretty good. Daisy Ridley, I think, does her best work in the series to date. Adam Driver is terrific. I don't like the fact that they have to find a new sort of female partner for Finn when he had such a great one in the last movie. And the very end of the movie, I will say this I was not expecting. The final moment in the movie, which is steeped in nostalgia, and the kind of nostalgia that was giving me goosebumps, nevertheless ends on a note that I think lands with such a thud that I haven't stopped thinking about how much I dislike the final line of this movie, because I think it is the ultimate sort of FU to Rian Johnson. And that was really disappointing. Now, I am going to recommend the movie. I am recommending the movie to people. I think I liked it more than a lot of people did. But there are things about it that I think the more times I watch it, the more I'm going to be bothered by them.
Okay. All right. Steve, what did you think?
Oh, God. Okay. So I don't think Eric and I are that far off. I just wasn't satisfied the way he was. I kind of wanted to leave this thing, not just with all of the plot threads tied up, which I think most of them are. I wanted to have, since we're not doing any more of these allegedly, I wanted to have a sense of how this galaxy far, far away was going to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we got more of a sense of that at the end of the last film with that little kid in the broom than we do with this film. This film, I mean, Eric is dead on about that last, it's like a coda. It is awful. Mm. It is a stupid thing to put in this. But I mean, I can see people thinking it's a great idea. It's not. So much of the Rise of Skywalker, you could almost feel Abrams and his people like checking off a list of complaints about The Last Jedi.
Yeah, that's what I thought this was going to be.
And either ignoring them or undoing them or minimizing their importance to the greater story. I'll give you an example. The whole idea of Rey's parents. And I love that idea in The Last Jedi that they were nobodies. Mm-hmm. Because the whole idea is that not everybody who's a hero has to be related to another hero or related to someone special. It could just be anybody. And that's a great message to put out into the world. And he undoes that here. Mm. And with such a, I don't know, it's infuriating sometimes. The movie isn't infuriating, but that particular message I thought really, really bugged me. You know, I thought a lot of the supporting players, especially on Team Bad Guy, are still pretty fun. I still think Domhnall Gleeson is hilarious as this sort of prissy little general that he has maybe one of the best surprise moments in the whole film, I think, or a couple of them actually. Richard E. Grant is now in the cast as another general who is part of the First Order, but actually has been sort of taking his orders from the Emperor for a while. And your favorite Carrie Russell is in this.
Yeah,
although you might not be aware of it,
I've seen the character.
So but I kind of liked what she brought to it. When the few times we actually get to see her in action, I, and as Eric said, Ridley and Driver are fantastic in this, probably better than they've been. If anything saves this movie, it's them. In fact, I would have been happy with a film about just those two characters duking it out and just figuring things out, because I think their relationship is the heart of this whole, all three movies, really. And honestly, but like, you bring Palpatine back and do something with him. Like, don't just have him spout the same things from Return of the Jedi about dark side and light side and giving in to your, you know, whatever. We've seen it, and we don't need to see him shoot like force lightning bolts out of his hands anymore. We've seen that. And more than that, we know it's defeatable. So like, why make that the only real challenge that anyone has to face in this film? Yeah, I mean, J.J. Abrams has never really had an issue with directing action. Eric's right. Like, the action sequences are top notch still. That's not the issue. And granted, like, I acknowledge, and I was not a fan of The Force Awakens, but, I acknowledge that he has an almost impossible task with this film to just get it all done.
Yeah.
To figure out a way to wrap things up. And I think he kind of gets lost in all the storylines. And doesn't sort of think of the future of this world and not just the future of the franchise. I maybe he just needs to spend less time on the internet and more time remembering what made these stories special in the first place, because I don't feel like this is a film I'm going to revisit that often. And that's a shame, because I walked into this with the right attitude. I was ready for this to, even if it got some of it right or most of it right, I was ready to recommend it, but I'm close, but I can't quite do it.
Wow. Wow. And is this the common view of people who have seen it, especially Star Wars fans?
Yeah, I think pretty much. I mean, there's some people saying that the movie is getting, like, you know, completely panned. I mean, it's not cast. Okay, I think most of the reviews of the movie are sort of right where sort of Steve and I are, where they're just sort of a little bit above or a little bit, I might even be a little bit more than a little bit above, or a little bit below. And it's like, they like Steve said, you can feel a lot of the reviews, a lot of the fair ones, I would say, like Steve, that they really want to like this movie more than they actually did. Am I forgiving a little bit more? I'm only going through watching the movie, and I'm 48 hours removed from the movie, and I'm still processing some of these negative thoughts that I have about them. In the moment, I had enough sense of satisfaction to where I could walk away and say, like, yeah, you should see it. It's not as good as Force Awakens, and particularly Last Jedi. I wasn't about to do a full 9-episode ranking, right after I saw this movie, still not. But it's a real shame that Abrams and whoever was involved, and you know, maybe you know the failure of Solo got to their heads a little bit too, that they, you know, they wanted to just go complete fan service on that, which is real. I mean, there are so many more people that like The Last Jedi than don't, and it's really a shame that they had to find a way to, you know, essentially, you know, do what they've been doing, like with, like some of the Superman movies, like, well, these movies don't exist, the Terminator movies, these movies don't exist anymore because people didn't like them, so we're just gonna go back to The Force Awakens. And that's what this movie feels like.
Yeah. Well, that's too bad because I think The Last Jedi is terrific.
Part of the reason it's terrific is because Rian Johnson took some risks.
He did.
And not all of them paid off. I can't defend that whole casino sequence at all. But I will say that, like, he took some risks. He took characters in directions and assigned them thoughts that people were not happy with, especially Luke Skywalker. And there's literally a moment where a character who was in the last film, someone sort of challenges him on something, his attitude in the last film, and he literally says that was a mistake. Mm. Like, just like, could you send a clearer message than just saying, oh, the way I was behaving in that last one was a mistake?
So it's an apology for The Last Jedi, essentially.
A
lot of it
is. I don't know if that sounds like a polite word to me. I don't know. It seems a little
I got to tell you, I don't know. I don't understand the people who hate The Last Jedi. I just don't get it. It's a terrific movie, and I've only seen Force. I mean, I haven't seen the third one yet, but I think it's better than Force Awakens. I think The Last Jedi is better.
It is.
It's a much more interesting movie than Force Awakens, and I liked Force Awakens. Mm-hmm. But I'll still take Rogue One over all of them.
I'm not there with you on that one, Nick. But here's the thing, you know, to give what Steve is saying, to give J.J. Abrams even some even better, more credit, not with this one, but with Force Awakens, what I said was that, you know, I mean, coming into a period where the prequels had rubbed everyone the wrong way.
Yeah.
And J.J. Abrams, you know, was kind of like the right, safe choice to bring Star Wars back, to go back to the practical sets and effects and things like that.
Yeah.
And but yet still with Kasdan and whatnot, still finding a way to create three really interesting new characters.
Yeah.
And mix them, you know, mix them with the old, so there's a little bit of a comfort level for all the fans and whatnot. And he made three really terrific characters that we wanted to follow on this journey. Particularly Rey, who's a great character, and it just to see him now just sort of play it right down the middle of the road, with the exception of I think the Rey and Kylo Ren relationship, but I think that's a really interesting arc that runs through the trilogy. Although one of the very last moments between them, I didn't like. I could have done without that.
Yeah.
But again, the two of them are so good that, the middle of the movie I think works very well. I think that the very end and the beginning are the things that really just kind of squeeze it a bit, and then everything that he screws around with The Last Jedi.
All right, okay. Well, guys, thank you for your reviews. Have great holidays. Okay,
you too.
Okay,
you too.
A good holiday. All right, Eric. Thanks, buddy. All right, Steve, see you later.
Yes.
Okay, buddy. All right, let's take a break here. When we come back, Jeff Tuckman is going to be here. If you've got any questions for Jeff, can't think of the title of a movie, if you want to know when something is coming out on Blu-ray or anything like that, we've got really amazing stuff to give away this morning. 312-981-7200.